Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to Momentum Magnet. We are here every Friday to talk about tips and tricks on how to get more momentum in your life and business. And today, in the year of quarantine, we're going to talk about something that a lot of business professionals and influencers are using on a daily basis. And it is, how do you expand the reach of your message through PR? I think it's really important these days to think about ways to reach our audiences when we're not able to see them one-on-one or in person. I don't know about you, but I have found that I have binged more shows this year than any other time in my adult life, maybe with the exception of a couple of months on bed rest when I was pregnant. But between balancing new shows on Netflix and Amazon Prime, I listen to podcasts when I'm walking around the house or cleaning or even taking a Peloton. And I think a lot of people are doing it. It's why we are seeing an uptick in people reading newspapers, in watching cable news, and in binging our favorite shows on our entertainment providers. So today I've invited one of my all-time favorite PR moguls. Her name is Lauren Gill, and she's been working in public relations for a couple decades. Prior to founding her own agency, Lauren supported the number one tech media company in the world to gain corporate experience in PR, event planning, and business development. She's been working hand in hand with Fortune 500 executives for most of her career and has landed coverage for clients in renowned publications such as Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, CNBC, Huffington Post, and more. So let's welcome Lauren so we can get really strategic and centered around how you can get your message to more people in this world. Hey, Lauren.
Hi, Karen. Thanks so much for having me today. I'm excited.
So excited to have you. So Lauren and I regularly partner on a lot of brands, and we've had a really killer week. We had a lot of brands covered in some top tier publications this week, and it led us to some conversations. And the first conversation we had is, what makes it so easy for some people to get coverage, and yet others are pushing a boulder up a hill? So today I thought I'd start with kind of the quintessential question for any PR professional. What makes a newsworthy story?
That's a great question. And I mean, with public relations, a lot of it has to do with the way that you tell your story, how compelling it is, understanding your targets and making sure that you're reaching out to media that are going to care about your story. There's thousands of people that write for the New York Times, but if you're sending this incredible pitch that you wrote to someone who isn't going to care about it, right? Then there's no strategy there. So it's all about laying out the foundation, figuring out the target audience of who's going to care about the story, figuring out who from each publication is going to care about that story. And then also just being persistent with follow-up, especially these days, people are swamped integrating regular life into work. So making sure that if you know a reporter should be pinged several times, doing that through different avenues, whether it be like a LinkedIn message, tweeting at them, sending them an email. Basically, one thing that people have always said about me throughout my career is I'm pleasantly persistent. And I think that now more than ever, that's a really important trait to have.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, PR has been a classic job description for decades. And as the world kind of moves to more of a creator culture, I think there may be a misnomer for a lot of business professionals that, you know, maybe they can do it themselves, or maybe the press will find them if they are publishing their own story consistently enough. What do you say to those people who are out there thinking, like, I don't need a professional PR person to manage my story? I can do it by talking about my narrative myself.
Yeah, so I definitely have heard that before, and I'm not biased in this by saying that folks that are really good at PR, they know how to talk to media. Media can get a little funny if you're not sending them a pitch in the way that they want it, or pulling statistics, or basically giving them a story that they can pull from, especially once again now where people are so time strapped. I think also just, you know, having the relationships as a PR person, and you referenced, you know, some of the really amazing clients that we work with, having that credibility as a professional where I'm bringing them these really solid stories, they're going to open my email, they're going to open my text, because they know that I'm not spamming them, and they know that the pitch that I'm sending along is going to be high quality. I think that's extremely, extremely important to note. And press builds upon itself. So you might get lucky and have media find you somehow, but you're only as good as your last story. So if you don't have that momentum and that consistent follow-up and strategizing and thinking about what other different buckets you should be falling into, then eventually, you know, the press is going to stop.
We have collectively worked on a lot of different clients, both large and established brands, and also startups that essentially are in all levels of bringing their idea to market. Some are pre-revenue, some are pre-product. And I always push any brand that's going to launch to have a PR component, because I think that third party validation of seeing the name of the brand in the news makes a huge impact in getting people to feel like this new offering is legitimate. Can you talk a little bit about how a new to market company, a startup, should be looking to put PR into their mix?
100%. And that really is the main value of PR, is it's that third party validation. You know, when we're talking to clients, it's about top funnel awareness. So having folks see you, you know, marketing's job, as you know, Karen, better than anyone, is to talk about how great you are, right? But it's so much more impactful when someone else is talking about how great you are, or, you know, especially when it's actual earned media. That is something that, once again, is validating for a launch, specifically when nobody knows who you are. It's so important to lay that foundation and lay those bricks of that third-party validation, so then you're able to then leverage your press coverage in your marketing strategy, right? Use it to for your social media, use it for any potential business development. If you have, like, stuck deals, a lot of the time, if you have a really great media story, sharing that with someone can move the needle. So I think as far as, like, a launch goes, PR is everything for a launch. It gets you out there, it amplifies your brand, and then it just really sets you off on the right course as you're establishing yourself.
You have an interesting backstory in that a lot of the startups that you've worked with, or people that you've had relationships with over the last few years, have an ancillary relationship to the show we've all heard of, Shark Tank. So I'm interested to hear, because I've talked to a lot of people, you know, at water cooler conversations and on soccer fields that have that big idea, that have that dream to get in front of, you know, the panel on Shark Tank and bring their ideas to life. How does something like PR play a role in really getting or garnering attention on something like, you know, a network show like Shark Tank, or a review or awards, you know, piece of credibility in a mainstream publication?
Absolutely. So, for instance, Shark Tank, we have some folks that we work with. One of them was found and actually recruited from Shark Tank because of PR, because of how much they were in the media. So they were sought out, which is amazing. Other folks who have to apply and go through the application process, being able to share once again those media wins as part of your application is that third party validation, is showing that your idea is interesting to people, right? Because if you're going to be on a network TV show, they want to see people are reading about it, people are consuming this brand, and that it's entertaining. So the Shark Tank folks are really fun to work with. It's a really cool story, and obviously, like, for inventors and people that are looking to start their own business. I mean, I'm a Shark Tank maniac. I love it. I love it. I watch it every Friday. And you know, it is like kind of the American dream, essentially, getting on Shark Tank, getting funding from those amazing folks, and being able to kind of pull back the curtains and learn more about the process and how it actually goes down. And also seeing that the investors from Shark Tank are so hands-on. One of my clients has a weekly call with their investor, which I just find incredible.
What is your all-time favorite product that you've discovered on Shark Tank? Is there one?
Oh, too many to name. I
Many
just
to
love it. And
name.
I don't want to make any clients upset.
Oh, that's smart. That is actually very smart. I wasn't thinking, said like a true PR professional. So the other item that's coming up a lot, and I'm seeing this especially in entrepreneurial circles, people that are both business coaches, they're influencers in health and wellness, perhaps they're looking to do a book deal. How does somebody position themselves as a thought leader with the media in the absence of a real tangible product? So if it's more of a personal brand story.
And so that's actually the fine balance that we walk with a lot of our programs, kind of as fillers through different announcements. So obviously, if you think about the life cycle of a PR program, you're going to have a launch, then you're going to have kind of telling that founder story and positioning the founder in those thought leadership pieces. A lot of the time, we try to have them be industry focused to set them, you know, up really well with their industry and who their target audience is and their buyers. Also, once again, kind of the founder piece, what's their backstory? Do they have an interesting story to tell about how they got into business? And then there's kind of ebbs and flows. You have maybe a new product announcement, you have maybe a funding announcement, things that sort of happen, but the filler and kind of the constant is always going to be telling that founder story, talking about like the product at large in a non-advertising type way, in a very authentic placement way. And that's kind of once again why you need a PR professional, because we understand the strategy and how to keep the momentum, and I keep saying momentum, not even intentionally, going for a program.
What is your view on the reach of media in 2020? You know, it's been a totally unprecedented year. Everything has changed, the way that we work and the way that we live and how, you know, we sit at home in our offices. Are you seeing a lot of the classic publications and networks that you reach out to? Are you actually seeing more eyeballs and more engagement with their content? And how does that impact the ability to pitch these reporters?
Yes, I think PR is more important now than ever. As you referenced earlier in the call, people aren't able to get in front of clients as easily. So having that third party validation is huge. The reach is bigger than ever. When I'm looking at like unique monthly views on publications that are friendlies of mine, I mean, it's growing. If you look at the social media interactions, it is growing because people are hungry for content, they're hungry for interaction, and I think it's impacted, you know, our business and other folks in PR. I mean, our business has grown tremendously this year because of the need for people realizing that PR should be like a foundational point of their business and an investment that they need to make.
So what are the key stories and trends? I know that I talk to clients a lot from a marketing perspective of you want to be part of the news cycle. You always want to join the conversation. You go to a cocktail party, it doesn't go very well for you to enter the conversation and take it in a left turn, completely changing the subject from what people are already talking about. I think it's the same with the media, right? You look at how your brand, your story, your vision fits into the already ongoing conversations that are naturally occurring. So we've talked a lot to collective clients about the changing state of business, how, COVID and the worldwide pandemic is impacting people, the role of the elections. What are other sort of interesting angles that you're seeing talked about more in the media today that was different from maybe a year ago?
So I would say, I mean, you're spot on with the COVID one. I think across the board with almost all of my clients, I've had an angle around business continuity, as far as like how or like business resiliency during difficult times. I've had a couple of clients where we've talked about like kind of leaving during times of uncertainty. That's like a really I think impactful thought leadership angle for folks. I've seen even some things with like CDC guidelines as they're changing. I have a couple of clients that fit into that space where that makes sense to kind of hop on a trending idea there. Yeah, the election was huge. I mean, honestly, it's just if you, what I do every day is I news scan, I subscribe to like everything. So my phone is going off constantly, but I just, try to figure out, okay, what's everyone writing about? Who are their competitors? Where are they being featured? What other stories can we fit them into? As you mentioned, it's really all about just hopping on trends and trying to insert yourself into those. So I think those are like the major ones that are happening, at least today. Obviously, the growing COVID pandemic and how it's impacting folks is kind of hard to overshadow currently.
Is it harder right now for people to get through to reporters, given that the global news cycle is so dominant with what's happening with, one or two very niche items?
So I think it depends on the type of company. So we have several companies that this news cycle is actually benefiting them because somehow their product or service has flourished or has pivoted during these times, and now their offering is more relevant now than ever. We have some folks where it has been a little bit more challenging, but what we've done is then really focused on the thought leadership pieces and also really focused on the trade. So within their industry, sticking to topics that are viable there and ensuring that we're still giving them like that nice range of coverage.
That's interesting. So, if I'm thinking about a true public relations campaign for my brand or business, I'm thinking about reaching out to the press. I'm also thinking about how do I reach out to influencers. And I'm also thinking about non-traditional channels of where I can show up, things like podcasting, video interviews, Facebook Lives. How has kind of the fabric of public relations changed to include some of these less traditional press outreach strategies and more digital communication practices?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely has changed. I'd say things like blogs are much more impactful than they once were. Influencers are huge, of course. You mentioned podcasts. If you're finding a really targeted podcast that your end customer is listening to, I mean, that's gold, right? Then they can hear it from you. Just like, pieces of contributed content or bylines, as we call them, that's gold as well because you're able to control your message and showcase yourself as a thought leader. And yeah, things like Facebook Lives, I mean, it's really, once again, each particular client is going to be totally different. If it's more of like a corporate client, then for them, to a degree, more traditional media is going to make sense. If it's more of like a transformational, innovative type client, it may make sense, if their end users are really heavy podcast listeners or on social media more, and it's not like a total B2B like play. Then that might make sense. So I think it's definitely changing, and the whole landscape of media is changing where, the amount of press is shrinking right now because of like lack of ad spend. There's not as many folks, reporters writing, so they are often asking for contributed content or because they just don't have the bandwidth to like hop on the phone and interview someone where they may have had that opportunity like a year or two ago.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I think one of the things that people wrestle with is it pay to play with the press? So people that don't have a ton of experience with the media might not understand that, public relations isn't guaranteeing that you're going to get placed in these publications. It's just giving you a little support in reaching your audience in new and different ways. It's almost marketing to the media, one might say. Can you give a little thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I mean, there's definitely a big difference between earned media and paid media. So paid media is obviously the pay to play. So earned media is me reaching out to a reporter with a pitch and them saying, yes, I'd love to work together on a story and publishing that story. Thus, the pay to play is sponsored content, which a lot of publications will. Like tier one or even some tier two will offer a chance for, say, $5,000, $10,000 to be featured in a roundup or be featured, a short blurb about your company or even like a piece of contributed content. For some of our like larger programs, we do the earned media side and then also will offer, like vetting services of sponsored content because maybe there's a couple publications that they really, really want to be in. And sometimes if you start out with that pay to play aspect, the editors over there are a little bit more apt to like publish you in the long term. But we typically, we are an earned media shop. Like I said, we just through the last year or so, I've had a couple of people say, hey, I'm really interested in being in this publication. Can you see what it would cost? Right. So that's once again kind of, I think, something that people don't understand about media is you have to be super careful with the sponsored content because sometimes it doesn't actually live anywhere. Sometimes the reach is not, what you think. So you need someone to ask the right questions to ensure that you're getting the most bang for your buck. Think about it as just ad spend. I mean, it's a different thing than putting up an Instagram ad or like a traditional ad in a newspaper or a website or something. It's just another way to sort of make sure that you control the messaging of your brand.
What's your biggest watch out for public relations?
There's a lot of scams out there, and it's really, really scary. If you saw my inbox every week, where clients forward me emails from people saying, for $1,000, I'll get you in like all these tier one publications. And you read through and you click the media kit and it's not real. I mean, you just have to be very, very careful because there are unfortunately a lot of people that are not like real PR professionals that are reaching out with these. It seems too good to be true opportunities, and they typically are. So I just got one sent to me like an hour ago, which was it was like a $20,000 program, and the client was actually thinking about it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm clicking on the links, I'm typing in scam, and I'm like, yeah, this is definitely not good spend for you. So just be cautious and make sure that you really do your research before you spend money on that. I'd say another thing is, just making sure that if you do hire an agency, vetting them to ensure that they are doing earned media and not pay to play. That's a big red flag, and there's a lot of folks out there that maybe aren't as seasoned as they might come across.
Yeah, that's great. And what brand can you think of? It could be a client or it could be just a mainstream brand. Can you think of an example of a campaign or a program when a brand did a really great job with PR? Right. I mean, I always say one of the hardest things to do in marketing is to overcome a crisis. So I always feel that responsive brands handle crisis in a beautiful way. They turn a negative into a positive and they do so quickly. I know when Peloton had their scandal around the Mother's Day ad campaign, they did a killer job of pivoting quickly and releasing an entirely different ad strategy very, very fast in response to the outcry from their members. And it was a tone-deaf campaign to begin with because it didn't really have the ethos of the brand. But I think those are the moments where I'm always really pleasantly surprised with people that step up in a crisis and do so in a beautiful way.
I love the Peloton story. I would say that's probably one of the best, like the top ones over the last few months, because that was definitely like handled with such grace and they bounced back. And that could have been like a could have been a detriment to their brand. But I actually don't think, I think it was just a blip on the radar. I would probably go with that one, Karen. That's one that we talk about all the time. I mean, like Nina and I.
Yeah, it's a good story. And I think that that is important to remember that not only PR for your brand or your business is important in the good times, it's also extremely important in the crisis moments. Having someone help Sherpa you through a challenging piece of press, a catastrophe in your office space, a legal challenge is really important. It's almost like having a media-based attorney on your team to help you understand what you can and should be saying. Any news or any updates to people about when a PR person should be hired for crisis communications?
Crisis communication, that is another great reason why you need a PR person. As you mentioned, a bad piece of press or an issue. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why you'd have to respond in a very strategic way to make sure that you're like in line with messaging. But I think that that's like something that you need. If preemptively, like if you think there's something that may go down, I think it would be good to engage someone, or certainly at least have somebody on hand that's vetted should something go down, so that you can kind of act quickly and hire them. But in a perfect world, you have a PR agency kind of on retainer throughout the year, so that if something happens, they already are integrated into your brand, they know your story, they know your messaging, and then it's very easy for them to seamlessly come in and craft, you know, exactly how you should be responding or sometimes not responding to things. I mean, sometimes that's one of the things that I think surprises people, is sometimes no response is just as powerful because it kind of allows it to die out. It just depends on the situation.
We all know that in our personal lives, that sometimes saying nothing is really what
Nothing.
should be done. So that's a
Yeah.
lesson I still work with every day in my own life. All right,
Yeah.
so a little bit of a speed round. If we are going to get started with a PR campaign, someone's listening, they want to do it for themselves or their business, the very first thing they should think about today to start on that path is what?
I would say, well, the first thing they should do is chat with their network probably, and just get referred to, you know, an agency or someone that they think is good, or just do their research. If you like Google, you know, Boston-based PR agencies, if you're located here and you want a local person, see who comes up. Start having conversations with folks, because there's a lot of different styles out there. But as far as getting kind of your ducks in a row, I would say having like your key messages put together, making sure that you really understand your why, have all of your marketing stuff ready, so that when you are speaking with agencies, you can sort of rattle off what your goals are, rattle off what who you are, and then that'll help them put together a really great program for you, whether it's a launch or just kind of an agency of record program where they're trying to amplify your brand. So I think making sure your marketing is tight is important before you engage PR.
That's perfect. My last question for you is going to be a tough one, so we'll see if we have an answer to this one. What is your dream media outlet to place a story for a client? Is there one?
I mean, honestly, we've kind of done a lot of them. So if you asked me a couple years ago, I would have probably rattled off who we've like the Today Show was amazing. That was like such a fantastic win, I think. I mean, Wall Street Journal, that's just amazing. New York Times, those are, I think, really validating as a PR professional. I think like maybe one that would be really cool in like the broadcast arena, I'd love to get like a CNN or like just something that's next level. Which we could with a couple of our brands that we have right now. They're really trending. They're in the trending topics right now that like a CNN's covering. So yeah, I mean, and maybe more Shark Tank people.
More Shark Tank people is always fun. I know I have a dream because my background in advertising of really having a documentary done around one of
Yeah.
my clients or a show on Netflix, because I think
Like a
that
Netflix.
that long form content is really irreplaceable for brands. And I know, Tony Robbins kind of started that trend when he had I'm Not Your Guru run on Netflix, and it sort of loaded his size of his events to the next level. Now we've seen, I mean, everything from the Tiger King, which is maybe not our true North client objective, to a bunch of the other really beautifully done documentaries that have existed over quarantine. So I'm thinking that that may be a little bit of the future of long form storytelling, which would be really fun to be part of something big and grand like that.
Well, I think we have one client we could do that
I think
with.
we do too. I think we
Collectively.
do too. Collectively, we have to look for ways. So, Lauren, if people want to reach out and follow up with you about PR, how do they do that?
Sure. So they can go on our website. So our everyone calls us MAG PR, but our full name is Mooring Advisory Group. So www.mooringadvisorygroup.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, Lauren Gill. Or send me an email, lauren@mooringadvisorygroup.com. I'd love to connect with anyone and even just answer any questions about PR if you're really intrigued and think that it may be right for your brand or just want to know more that maybe I didn't share today.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Lauren, for joining us today and talking to everybody about the impact of PR in these unprecedented times, what you need to know for your business, how to react to crisis, and how to get reporters to read your pitches. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm Karen Morales. I am the host of Momentum Magnet Podcast, where we share stories every week that you can put into action to make more progress in your life and business. I'm also the CEO and founder of Marketing Magnet, a full-service marketing firm. We help companies of all sizes solve their most pressing marketing challenges with a nimble, lean team to drive growth. I can be reached at marketing-magnet.com. We'd love for you to provide reviews and follow us on Spotify and iTunes, iHeartRadio, and let us know what episodes really resonate with you. It helps us create a better content pipeline. Again, thank you for joining us. We wish you the best this weekend and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit MomentumMagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.